Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we have another show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and certain elements of science and some other areas as well that might be of interest to you. If you would like, you can call in. The numbers are on the screen. Now, I'm going to give out the numbers tonight for the people who have two phones, because we know there's a number of listeners now who are also listening in over the telephone. You can do this by calling a special phone number, and we can have, as I've been told, up to 1,000 listeners just on the telephone. So if for some reason you would like to call in and you have that capability while you're on the telephone, you can call 877-876-5227 in the U.S., or 888-815-9756 in Canada. And for the rest of you who are looking at a computer screen, it should already be right in front of you. So how do you like that? I thought tonight I would talk about esoterically fighting evil. Now, I've had shows in dealing with evil in the past, and some of you know that sometimes the spiritual group I'm part of is knee-deep in fighting some forms of evil. Generally, it's the kind of evil that may affect a lot of people, but that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. When I talk about evil, I'm not talking about some person or even a group of people who might be doing some relatively dark and even illegal things. There's a difference. People do things illegal frequently. Just running a traffic light or speeding might be considered illegal, as an example. And people also do things that are considerably away from God's thought, meaning they're dark. They encourage selfishness, they produce greed and avarice and many other types of, we'll say, negative behaviors and thoughts. But those things are not necessarily evil. And I want to start off by talking about what is evil. For those of you who haven't heard some of the earlier shows about this or read some of the books and articles I've written, evil in itself is a unique form of virtually anti-consciousness. It's a form of consciousness, but it's a form of consciousness that is against consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to use our thinking in ways that connects with larger and larger other thoughts and helps us to grow our thinking towards our Creator. So consciousness is the way that we move towards being closer to God. And if you have higher consciousness, then you have a higher state of understanding God and understanding ways to be giving and helpful, loving, truthful, and many other words that fit into that category. Evil is against that. Now you might say, well, why? Well, and why would a God that created all life in the universe, everything that exists, even itself, why would this God have evil? I mean, it's like having an anti-God around or something like that. And the rationale is this, that we, in order to be a growth of the Creator and to have a truly independent will and independent mind, have to have freedom. And part of that freedom is that we are not controlled so that we can not think of dark ways, and eventually, if we choose to become this anti-consciousness, anti-God, or evil. Evil also is a kind of perversion of the way God created life to be able to grow. Life grows through a process of developing both thought and action and the ability to take action. These come together in our universe because we have an activity or action universe that's founded on the principle of what a lot of people call an energy base or form type of universe. I don't want to get too complicated, but I do want to talk about the difference between what evil perceives as its reality and what the rest of us do. Evil seeks to substitute power and control for oneness and inclusiveness. It seeks to seek a separation of itself from other types of life, even from other types of evil life, as much as it possibly can, so that it has a sense of being the thing that it seeks to be, but also denies in existence, which is God. So evil is seeking to be God without joining with God. And in many circumstances, although I don't believe that the highest forms of evil actually truly believe this, they may espouse it, but they don't really believe it. They speak as though and try to convince others that there is no such thing as God. God doesn't exist. Yet they are trying to be God. Isn't that odd? Yes, I know. So there's all kinds of very strange contradictions in this state of quote-unquote anti-consciousness that evil exists in. Now, evil doesn't want to lose consciousness because that's actually very painful and frightening. It actually believes in some ways by stealing consciousness from others and by being all-powerful or as powerful as possible and stealing energy from others, that it could compensate for a loss of consciousness that usually occurs by being separated from God and by being anti-God. This fools them because they actually can make it look like, and for a while even accomplish somewhat, a reduction or a significant lessening in the amount of consciousness they lose by their functioning in their evil ways. However, it's inevitable that they will lose consciousness. And eventually, the odd part about it is that even though they steal energy constantly from others, the energy could be in the form of things, like, you know, any kind of thing is made out of energy, or it can be pure energy itself. But they steal because they want to maintain the form they're in, and sometimes even grow that form by having more power to keep stealing even more from others. Yet, at the same time, in an esoteric sense, which is what we're talking about tonight, evil continues to degrade in terms of its senses and centers or chakras and bodies, and it only has the appearance of not doing so. The appearance is this illusionary energy that can never really become a solid part of them permanently. It's only a temporary, like a temporary facade that very quickly can disappear. And the evil people that are doing all this stuff that takes energy from others can be literally find themselves with totally dissolved, or I will say nearly gone, senses and bodies. That they then are in a terrible condition with and can only go on to survive as a non-human in some much lower form of life for millions of years. This is the inevitable finality to the most advanced evil beings, sometimes called evil masters. It sounds crazy, I know. And you would say to yourself, well, why would they do it? Well, they think they can beat the system. It looks like for as long as thousands of years of time, for the darkest of masters, that they are beating the system. But inevitably, they still lose. And so, it's as crazy as it sounds, but those that pursue this life, no matter how well convinced they are, they're getting away with something, are only moving closer to the abyss. Now, can you get away with it for a physical lifetime or 5 or 10? Yes. And some astral lifetimes as well. Unlike the rest of humanity, evil people, do not go on to live in the monastic world. And they never rejoin with their soul. Most evil people have no soul that is a human soul. They have a kind of group soul like an animal might have that's called cosmic evil. And it exists way far away and in a different dimensional kind of system than even the one we're somewhat unfamiliar with about our universe. It's a very strange part of this universe, but it's still part of the universe, but it's something that it created it for itself. And when they die, they live in a part of the astral world that's a reflection of this mind that exists in this strange part of the universe. So it's called the eighth sphere. Now, there's only seven subdimensions of the astral world, so what is the eighth sphere? Well, it's actually the seventh subdimension, but the part that evil lives in has been changed in time and space to the point where it's unrecognizable from the rest of even the lowest subworld that someone could live in under normal circumstances in the astral world. And they don't go on to live, as I said, in the monastic. It would not be possible for them to do that unless they did some really, really strange and terrible things to this world or worlds like it. And let's not even talk about that for right now. It is possible, but very unlikely that could occur. So, evil is against truth, and it tries to substitute power and control, and manipulation and intimidation for truth. It's against all forms of faith, and it's against the belief of, and the thought of, and the worship of, or any kind of about God. And it's also against givingness and love and inclusiveness. And it is not a very good planner. It plans in a short order in a better way than most people do. But in a long period of time, it's terrible at planning because its consciousness is not well developed and is usually on a continual, very slow decline. So it's hard to have long-term planning with consciousness in that shape. Those that are fighting evil are fighting it in a number of different venues. Some are fighting evil on what would be considered a personal level. Fighting evil on a personal level could be people who are against spousal abuse or child abuse. Physical, sexual, or whatever. They may be against certain types of terrible crimes, which may include things like rape, etc. And they usually are helpful if they're working with groups of others. Usually these are group service or national service groups, meaning that they're working on a more localized level than those who are fighting evil. For bigger reasons. Now you might say, well, what bigger reasons could there be than trying to prevent children from being sexually abused? Well, actually there are. I know, and I don't want to give the impression that that means that children who are being sexually abused should not be considered as an important issue. It is. But any kind of evil is an important thing to confront. But although the evil is terrible if 1, 10, 20 children are touched by it through sexual abuse or murder or whatever, it's not as severe than the kind of evil which is considered about the worst that there is, and that is public corruption, especially public corruption that threatens the life and liberty and sheer existence of the people who are within the system where the public corruption exists. That's considered much more severe because unlike the personal side where it's affecting individuals, it not only affects individuals, but affects the entire society. When there is corruption on a high scale, a scale being among people who have high levels of responsibility, within the public, supposedly for the public good, who are doing the opposite. They not only corrupt the individuals and destroy the individuals that they come in contact with, They corrupt some who they lead into their fold, but they destroy others who they're against, usually for greedy purposes and power purposes and other reasons as well, sometimes for political ideologies. But regardless of their motive, the real danger is that when the system becomes corrupt on a public level, people lose confidence in the nature of their oneness. In other words, we in the United States, for those of you who are listening and are part of the U.S., where I'm speaking from, are people who seek to have an inclusiveness not only with our own country, but with countries of similar nature. What are those countries like? Well, those are countries that seek freedom for their people, who are real democracies, not just a name, using the name in their country or for their country, and who want to have freedom, freedom in market, freedom in thought, freedom in speech, freedom in action, so that people can grow and be creative towards their own creator, which is the only way it can be. People can't be forced to do things and then expected to be able to move towards a creator, because a creator doesn't work that way. So consequently, when you have corruption, all these freedoms are interfered with, and the results are disastrous, because the people then lose sight of God. The greatest of tyrannies is not that people are tortured economically, which they are, and most of their labors and most of their energies are leveled down to almost nothing. They're permitted to do very meager things and have almost no freedom in which to interact and act and to produce and be creative. But the real problem, and this is for those of you who are in maybe closer to my age, may remember about Marxist communist countries, which still exist, by the way. In those situations, what's really the detriment is that those countries are godless. Now, they're not godless because nobody in the country believes in God, because even though they try to do that, some people still do. But what it does is the system itself leads people to believe that God couldn't exist, because the system is so flawed and destructive to human rights and freedoms that it can't in any way represent God. And why would there be a country so bad if there was a God that was so good? Of course, the answer to that is that humans have the right, even governments, to, if they choose to, ignore God and to fight against it. So when we have public corruption, we have tyranny at levels that are very, very destructive to the common good and that are anti-God. They're anti-spiritual, because spirit is God's thought. So they're anti the thought of God. And this is probably the worst part of a public corruption system. I'm going to tell you some things. Some of you may have read some books written by Alice Bailey, that she got some information from members of the next kingdom, meaning the spiritual kingdom, spiritual hierarchy. These are beings, human beings, who have advanced beyond the human level. Now, some of you may not believe that, or some may. It doesn't matter. But one of the things I've always found interesting about some of the comments in some of the books attributed to these great masters is that when talking about the United States, now this goes back to the 20s, 1920s, that the United States was peculiar in that it espoused freedom, and it was the country most held out to be seeking freedom. Yet it was one of the more corrupt countries in the whole world. Not the most corrupt, don't get me wrong. There's no question that countries that employ Marxist, communist, highly socialistic practices are more tyrannical by far and more destructive towards God. But the United States, as the dichotomy of the United States, was stronger than those other countries. Those other countries didn't hide as well their corruption because they didn't need to. They had all this power and they just abused people. Oddly, those people that were so abused oftentimes still held on to the concept of God. Interestingly, when you have a country like the United States where people are hypocritical and say that they are fighting for and seeking truth and justice and honor and real freedom and do the opposite, they do more destruction to the principle of God than the other countries do, because the hypocrisy is actually more destructive to people's belief in God. So it's a difficult thing to understand that we could be more destructive to the God issue than some other countries, which are just a bit abysmal in their treatment of their population. It's because they're more out front about their evil, and so it's not as hidden. At any rate, public corruption is probably it's probably the worst of all of the kinds of evil that can affect large masses of people. And groups that fight it are on a national or, in more times, on a world service level. When a group starts fighting public corruption, it's in big trouble if it doesn't have a lot of support. It also is fighting something that's way outside the personal realm. So its real motives for what it's doing cannot be understood by evil, which is a good thing, by the way. And so its actions are difficult for evil to plot and to figure out, which is another good thing. That's why I'm talking tonight about esoterically fighting evil, because you can't fight the big evils in a direct fashion. Why not? Because they are more powerful in most respects. The reason being that they seek power and they accumulate it in most of their daily existence, whereas those that are spiritually focused are doing the opposite. And so even though they may have the right motive, they may still get gobbled up and chewed up by evil if they do it in a fully open way, and if they don't have a lot of help from the outside. In our country right now, there's very little help. I can tell you this because of experience. There's very little help for those who are fighting public corruption in any substantial way. And this is a difficult problem. It needs to change because the country is in great jeopardy. When significant levels of public corruption are taking place, and nobody's doing anything about it, it grows leaps and bounds. A single county can contaminate a state within less than a generation. A single state can take part in a whole region of states, such as in the United States, within another generation. And within three generations, which is just 60 years, by the way, the whole country can be consumed by it. That's how frighteningly fast this whole thing can get out of hand. And I'm going to tell you right now that part of tonight's show is going to be what this group that I am a spiritual, you know, member of, is attempting to do, and what some of the things are that we have been facing, and what you can do to help if you seek to do so. You know, on rare occasions, I have mentioned that we could use some help in certain ways, with certain legal things and other stuff. But tonight I'm talking about a more wide approach. But we certainly can still, if you have legal talents, especially if they are on a federal scale, not just a state scale. So this would apply to anyone with legal training anywhere in the United States. And maybe even out of the country, possibly, at least in terms of research and helping in some ways. But if you have those abilities, please listen in, because you can help. You can really make a difference. Now, what kind of difference are we trying to make? Well, we believe that the level of and types of public corruption that we're dealing with have reached such a high point in terms of power and control that they're about to contaminate a major part, a significant part of the state of Arizona, which is where I'm speaking from. I know the radio stations in California, don't get confused by that. And that it's of such a nature and so peculiar to in its own makeup that it is more dangerous than most other forms that are in some other states that have been known for public corruption, be it parts of, I'm not going to, you know, this is not like I'm going against any particular region, but I'm just mentioning parts of Chicago and New York. I'm from Chicago, and I'm aware of much public corruption. It used to be and probably still is evident there. And some people also look to New Orleans and Louisiana as having problems like that. But I think those areas, because of their, because of the nature of the corruption as being embedded within the system itself, it is controlled more because it's more visible. The kind of corruption that is localized to Arizona is not embedded in the system. In other words, it isn't part of the whole politic. Maybe in small amounts it is. I mean, here and there someone runs for office who is maybe known or elected to be known that they're crooked, and others are backing them for crooked reasons. But in this particular case, this is more like a cabal or a cartel. This is more like a racketeering type of operation that has within it unusual forms of deprivation of God, and is seeking to gain control in weird ways about things that we just happen to have an interest in. I don't really, at this point, think the things we have an interest in are really much of the reason for this particular evil's actions. It's because of our very existence that these things are occurring. In other words, if you are really out there trying to create goodness in the world, and if you're out there trying to produce goodwill, and if you're going to stand up to evil and fight it, and if evil is present, and particularly in the form that exists within this particular area that I'm in, then the problem is that you become the target. Not necessarily a specific thing, although that certainly is a target in itself, but actually the very basis of being in a place of wanting to create light and virtue in the world makes the target itself. That's a lot different from some place where I came from, like Chicago. In Chicago, you didn't know about the corruption until you had to go get a building permit, or you had to, you know, line some patrolman's pocket who just pulled you over when you knew you were speeding. And all you had to do is give that patrolman a certain amount of money and you could get away. Those kinds of things are not what I'm talking about. And those are corruption, by the way. But those kinds of things are not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something unbelievably worse and pervasive only towards those who would stand in the way of its own growth. So in other words, just because we exist and we exist against darkness, we become the target. And there are others like that, but that's the most dangerous thing, because if you can get rid of the us's, you know, the people who are spiritually focused, it's much more easy to spread, and spread very quickly in a more dangerous way than if you're just trying to collect extra fees or make an extra few dollars by selling something to someone that they don't need, so to speak. So it's a different type of evil. It's a more sinister one with a more, we'll say, ambitious desire. The desire is to get rid of those that are good just because they're good. Okay? So I hope that that makes some sense to you. By the way, this evening we are going to, although I didn't really check this out before we started, but I was told, don't worry, just keep saying it and we'll let you know otherwise. We're going to go to 15 minutes past the hour, not 5 minutes before. So we have extra time. And I'm deliberately using that time to be as clear as I can be about a fairly difficult subject. So instead of breaking like right now, we're going to go on for a few more minutes, and then we'll take a break. But let me continue then. So here is a situation in which the evil that we as a spiritual group and others that have joined us are dealing with is the kind of evil that may be the worst kind, because although it is localized at the present time, it could quickly jump borders and become much more dangerous and much more severe. It is not only in Arizona, because some of the characters involved are outside of the state anyway. And so basically it already has a foundation that is mobile and is outside of the immediate region of the state itself. Now, the interesting thing is that this is centered in a particular county, but it's not only in that county, within Arizona. And that county is listed in several sources as being in the top five most corrupt places. So as strange as it may seem, others have noticed. In other words, others who I guess who are, I didn't know this until recently, others who have been analyzing and evaluating the amount of public corruption have already realized that there is this high level of corruption that exists. Now you might say, well, can you give us some idea what you're talking about? And I'm going to do that right now. Some of the areas, and they work together. You see, evil doesn't work together in an inclusive way, but it works together in sharing power for the moment. It'll use the power as a sharing method. It won't share consciousness, but it will share power. Unless you consider the consciousness of evil to destroy God, that it does share. But it doesn't share what we call consciousness, the rest of the world calls consciousness, which is inclusiveness and love. So some of the areas that are presently being affected are to begin with, judges, several of them, in the superior court system, including a presiding and civil presiding judge. And these judges work together. They don't work, you know, like, well, I'll do something bad and you do something bad and we can talk about it at lunch. They actually work together because they plan their means of corrupted application of law. And so that's one of the things, one of the areas we're dealing with. They also have some influence all the way into the appellate system. And unfortunately, here in Arizona, just this last December, we had a Supreme Court judge found to be carrying out corrupt activities. So don't think I'm only limiting it to one small area, because like I said, it's moving. It's on the move. Now, the judges work together with local law enforcement, and the primary law enforcer in this particular area is the sheriff and sheriff's department. And that department is as corrupt as you can imagine. As a matter of fact, there's no resemblance between a law-abiding system and how they function. So they function as racketeers. That's, if you know what racketeering is, I can define it. I think we got a couple more minutes here to do that. Racketeering is when people use intimidation and fear and manipulation of both laws and the system and the courts and the police, etc., to remove the civil rights from people and human rights as well, sometimes to threaten the life of people and to take the life of people, they will go to no end to achieve whatever levels of control and avarice and greed that they are seeking to exercise in whatever particular situation they are in. And they do so on an organized level and with forethought and malice, and specifically to controvert the legal system. In other words, they may use the legal system to achieve what they want, but they don't try to create truth in law or whatever. They try to avert and destroy the truth and prevent people from having any rights within the legal system if possible. So their biggest concern is to control the legal system and the policing system together. And then they also move out into other areas. They seek to control various agencies or extensions of governmental authority, and they build a power base, moving from one agency to another, until finally every part of a person's life could be virtually controlled by some powerful structure or agency or legal body, making them in control of people, making the people into puppets. They extort. They try to extort money, property, and what they can't extort, they destroy. They may burn things down. They may steal, or they may break or cut or destroy in various other ways. And they do these things clandestinely. They do it in ways in which it would be very difficult to catch them and or to prove that they specifically did whatever they did. They hire thugs. They do it in the middle of the night, sort of like cockroaches. I put them in the same classification because they come out when nobody can see them. And when visually shown to exist, they become frightened and run away. And then make up some lies about what they were really doing in the first place. So they live their lives in this unusual pattern of sickening, destructive behaviors. And all the things I've just mentioned, every one of them, and much more, have been exercised by the local group of corrupt people that we are dealing with. Not any of those things have they not done. They've done every one of them and more. So if you look at the process, it's really one of wearing down and destroying people of goodness for the purpose, as I said, of ultimately controlling and power and getting rid of the goodness because it stands in their way of existence, and that's what they fear the most. So they go after what they fear the most, not what they actually want the most, although they take things, they steal things, but they're just as likely to destroy things as to take them if that will get their power and control up higher. So oddly, they're not just a common thief. A common thief would be someone who would steal something for the benefit of deriving the goods that they steal. In these cases, these people steal for the purpose of gaining control and power and destroying God in anyone and everything that stands in their way. So this is a really different kind of, we'll say, darkness. It's real evil. And it's dangerous because they will go to almost no end to achieve their results. In recent days and weeks, they've attempted murder. They've attempted arson on various scales, and they have done many other things. These kinds of activities are so vile, and these people that are exercising them, that there is no sanity. You can't look at it as saying, well, you can justify it because of this or that. There's no justification. The only justification that you could say is that they're evil. In other words, that's a justification. It's the proof. Well, we're really past the time where I should break, so let me take a break right now. And I would like to draw you in more to what I'm going to be discussing tonight in terms of fighting evil, so that you can understand how it can be done. And maybe you may choose, a few of you may, to give us a hand if you would like. We'll be back in, about 2 minutes and 30 some odd seconds, and from that will be from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we're talking about esoterically fighting evil. And I thought I'd share with you some of the areas that the spiritual group I'm a member of is involved in fighting, and see how that fits in with giving some better understanding of what evil is really about and how we can fight it better. So maybe this show will do all of that and encourage some people, if any, to maybe be of some assistance. We've had some assistance from some areas where I talked about something not too different from this before, but now I'm talking more directly. And one of the areas I want to talk about is the question of civil rights and racketeering in general, sometimes referred to in federal cases and even some state cases as RICO. Now, what does that mean? It means that this is a certain kind of series of crimes that are considered to be so vile and so, we'll say, off the charts in terms of destroying the human rights and civil rights of people that they've invented or created new kinds of laws that you can either civilly or criminally or both go after people for who are using these methods in their operations. And so it goes beyond just being a criminal. You can't just be charged with a RICO or civil rights violation because you're a criminal in general. You could be the world's greatest cat thief or something, cat burglar, you'd never be able to go after a person like that with one of these laws. These laws are specifically designed for public corruption of some sort. They're specifically designed for organized crime that attempts to do the things I talked about earlier. Not necessarily just take something from people, but to take their lives from them, to remove their rights in general in a civil or criminal proceedings, to affect judges that they may be before or magistrates, to change, in effect, the police so that they are anti the public good, and to make everything opposite. Because one way to understand evil in general is it's the reverse of good. Yes, it's sometimes creative, but most of the time it's not. Most of the time it just reverses whatever good is. It's a lot easier for it to function that way than to come up with truly creative alternatives. For that reason, there's a commonality in the type of corruptive crimes that exist, and that commonality has allowed there to be RICO laws established. So in our particular case, we are filing RICO laws against these parties. We were going to do this some time ago, but unfortunately the attorney we were using was removed by his own doing. Whether you want to believe because he got paid off or because he didn't have competence or whatever, and he didn't do it. So in other words, we prepared a whole case over a year ago to do this, and it just completely went nowhere because of the malpractice of a particular attorney. I just heard a little beep. I'm not sure if somebody is there. Somebody on the line there? Maybe it was a beep in my own stuff here. You know, I'm on a board here, like 1,000 miles away from where the engineer is, and sometimes it beeps just because it beeps. Okay, let me continue on. So we were going to do this some time ago, but unfortunately we were sabotaged, you might say. And, in very recent times, our present attorney felt so threatened for his life and the life of his family that he has just withdrawn, for the most part, from being of assistance to us. So we need another attorney who's got some courage to deal with this, and probably a bigger, maybe a number of other lawyers that work together, because I think a single lawyer becomes too easy to pick off or to bribe, maybe both. So it's definitely a concern. And, if you're going to fight evil, you can't fight evil alone. Fighting evil alone is almost a recipe for disaster. Even a spiritual group has to have other spiritual groups working with it. And we're working on that. And we need a group of people familiar with the law. People who can work with this type of situation, who can deal with public corruption, and who have some experience in dealing with federal courts. One of the good things I can tell you about the area that we're in is that the federal court is fair and just and not corrupt, as far as we know. So don't think we're kind of like crazy paranoid people who just think everybody is out to get us and everyone's corrupt. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I think that most of society is not corrupt. But you don't need to have a very large amount of people who are corrupt if the people who are the corrupt ones have a lot of power and control. And that's what we're dealing with. So we're really looking for people who have a sense of balance in terms of understanding both the law and understanding what they're dealing with, which is evil. You can't be just on the legal side of things. Someone who didn't believe or understand some of the things I'm talking about in terms of evil would have no chance in dealing with it. Our last lawyer found that out the hard way. You have to really come in up front and say, yeah, I can see it, and I got a plan for where it's going. Otherwise, it's going to gobble me up, and I'll fall victim to it. So hopefully the listeners of this particular show are a little more advanced about that sort of thing than the general public, because we've talked to people in the general public, not people who would necessarily listen to Why Life Is. And those people don't fall into the right camp. What happens is they literally look for every way to believe that there isn't evil. You can't possibly fight evil if you don't believe it exists. And this is how evil usually wins, is it convinces people that it doesn't exist and that everything and everyone that's claiming that it does is some kind of wacko crazy people who you shouldn't listen to. It tries to undercut through propaganda and lies, and through constructed lies, by the way, not just convenient lies, but actually make situations where it looks like people are lying, if possible, so that you don't have credibility. And their whole basis of existence is on trying to look more credible, because the facts never support the truth for them. The facts almost always invariably show that they are corrupt. But they never want to get to any facts. They don't only want to deal with an appearance, if possible, because that's easy to do. You make various statements, and then you make it look like you're big, good people, and then pretend that that's the case, and you malign everyone that you're against. So this is the process, unfortunately, that has been used for ages, for a long time. It was particularly honed by countries like Nazi Germany and Communist Russia and other places like that. They use this sort of stuff all the time, inventing stories and making it look like the good guys are the bad guys and they're the good guys and that sort of stuff. Of course, for the most of the people, most of the world, eventually they saw through it, but sometimes not always and not in enough time. And time is a big issue. Time is the way that evil tends to win, because it strikes suddenly and it doesn't give much time for others to come up with a plan, because it knows given enough time, it will lose. It can't outplan the good, so it has to outact the good. Action is more important to it than any kind of thought. And it takes violent actions very often. Some things that we've encountered in the last few weeks is being shot at with rifles by snipers. It sounds crazy, right? Well, it isn't. We got pictures, you know, we've got other things. And you might say, well, nobody got killed, right? Well, some people got missed by an inch or two. That close enough? I mean, if someone's a few hundred yards away and they're shooting at you, even if they're not trying to hit you, if they come within an inch or two, it's still attempted murder, because bullets are just not that accurate, and no person using a gun has that kind of accuracy, especially in the areas that where this was occurring. There are high winds, there's all kinds of unusual terrain and things like that. In addition to that, some things that we have encountered in recent in the last couple of weeks, massive fires. I'm talking about several fires started within a few acres that are purely arson. We've got reports that say that, et cetera. But it's, I mean, you don't have to be one of these skilled people that gave us these reports to know that. Now, what does that mean? What is it? Why is arson so dangerous? Well, arson, besides destroying property, is dangerous because there's no control over it. Next to where the arson took place were literally thousands of gallons of stored fuel. If that fuel had gone up, people would have been killed. Maybe even hundreds or thousands of acres might have been destroyed. So it has a grave danger to it, because it's an uncontrolled crime that endangers who knows. You never know who's walking around. You never know who's in the area and who might be killed. It might be directed, and it was specifically towards the people that I'm connected with. But it could lead to almost any kind of serious disaster and murder. These are just some of the things that we have had to deal with. Also, tremendous corruption and intimidation by the sheriff's office and a lot of those officers. Like, not just one or two, a whole bunch of them. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the snipers are off-duty sheriff deputies. That wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying it is, but it wouldn't make any difference if it were or weren't, but since they're protecting those people anyway. So you see, this kind of thing has with it amazingly disgusting and unfortunately terrible behaviors. I'm not going into everything because it would be too much. It would be overwhelming for me to describe all of the behaviors and actions that have taken place. But it would be important, I think, or it is important, for me to give at least a little bit of what I just said, because although it's very upsetting to talk about it, and I'm sure just as upsetting for those of you out there who are listening, the upsettingness is an important element in getting us to shift and to recognize these things either may or really are happening, depending upon what you think the sanity level and the credibility level of myself is, or what I'm saying. And, you know, I'm a witness to these things. I'm a witness to much, much more. And so all I can tell you is that the importance here is to want to stop it. If you can say to yourself, well, if this guy's telling the truth, this is really nuts and disgusting, and I would want to do something about it, then I've done at least some of my job tonight. Because even with that movement, that's a good thing. If you have any of this in your own neck of the woods, we'd want to know about it ourselves. Because we're concerned about this everywhere and anywhere. We are working with groups and organizations who also have the same kinds of concerns. And we're hoping that some of you out there might, either as individuals or members of a group or organization, a law firm possibly in another state even, want to be of some assistance. We need assistance because this is no small and insignificant wrong. This is the big time. And we're not people who have the political kinds of connections that these other persons might have, at least in some ways. I don't think that they're necessarily connected with every powerful person in the United States, but they probably have a few that they can rely upon. Because these kinds of people almost always relish and look for power bases. They're almost always seeking to find someone who they can rely upon to lie for them, to cheat for them, to intimidate for them. That's part of their process. So, and if you have people in your own life that are going through, you know, doing something like this or having this, we would like to know about it. And you can email me or you can call me and call others that I'm associated with. Also, if you are in an organization that can be of some assistance, regardless of how or what, we would like to know about that. We've been hunting for some of them and found a few, but a lot of them, strangely, have gone defunct. I think it's a sign of the times that with all the levels of corruption that exist, they're knocking off some of these organizations. Literally, they're pushing them out in various political and non-political ways. And that's what I was trying to explain earlier, is that they became targets. And so they were starved out either through financing or through some other means. Because we found in doing some searching on this over the last months that it's much sketchier than what we think it used to be, because some of the organizations that used to exist, their names are still on lists and things, but they aren't there anymore. Isn't that a scary thing? I also want to mention that our political system as it is right now is unusually corrupt. And so everything I'm saying tonight goes in spades if you're talking about the political system on a national scale in Washington, D.C. Corruption is rampant. It is unfortunate that those in power are there seeking more power. Some of them are doing so for ideological reasons. But the ideology of seeking power instead of inclusiveness and instead of freedom is just as evil, maybe more so, than seeking it for some material gain of some sort. And oftentimes the two are together anyway. So I don't want to give you the impression that because someone is ideological, they're in any way more okay. We can accept them to take away freedoms and be tyrannical or be destructive to the goodness that is part of being who we are. And that we should tolerate it, because I don't believe that to be true. I believe we should be more intolerant, not less, of those who are ideological, because they actually employ more danger. They are seeking power because of arrogance in monastic or mental structure, and they're replacing truth with arrogance and egotism. So this is a terrible thing. And when people have that attitude, they become even more dangerous in some circumstances than those who are seeking power for the more straight public corruption methods of racketeering, which is still a very bad thing, by the way. So I put the ideological maybe even worse than where I would put the racketeering side, although the two sometimes do come together in various ways. They can play off of each other. And one side, the ideological side, can use the racketeering side and vice versa. We've seen this many times within the United States. And usually we find that about 20 or 30 years after it actually happened, but we still see it here. Okay, so what other things can we do to fight? Well, the first probably is to not run away. And instead, find the place to fight where the other side is the weakest and has the least amount of control. In our particular case, that's the federal courts and not obviously state courts that are corrupt. You can't win when more than one judge is corrupt in a state court, because the judges have almost absolute power. They are immune from prosecution, even from racketeering prosecution. You can name them, as far as I know, in a case, but you cannot sue them or go after them directly. Only a criminal investigation that has a higher standard can ever remove a judge from a bench. Unfortunate. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. But I understand the reason the laws are made that way, because otherwise judges would be sued by everybody that they rule against, and they would not be able to function. So to protect them, they're given immunity, for the most part, from being sued. Now, if they're caught doing something really bad, that's a different story. So, at any rate, we need to be fighting in a neutral and fair place. And the best place for that right now is in the federal courts, because unfortunately there are no other places for us to go. Another place that can be some assistance is the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I can't really reveal too much about what has gone on with them, but if you are connected with the FBI, or if you have, or if you've connected with the U.S. Attorney's Office, please contact us, because we already have some things going on, but we would like to have a greater level of assistance both in and out of the state about this matter. So if you are that person or those people, you can be of great help to us, tremendous help. And even though there may be others involved already, but as you know, this is the kind of thing that usually takes a broader effort than just from a very centralized local office, because of the nature of public corruption, particularly when it involves courts and police organizations. Those are the kinds of things that usually require multiple offices, even support sometimes from Washington, D.C. directly. And so for those of you who may be listening who have any connections with those bodies, we really need to hear from you. It would be of some significant help, especially in coordinating and other things. Another place where you can fight esoterically evil is in getting public awareness to vote out the people who are voted into office. There are several people that could be done with. You need to contact us directly because I don't want to give out names over the radio, but we can, after we file, we can do that. Well, I can't, and we're about to file, so maybe within the next few weeks, that can be revealed. If it becomes public record, then I would just talk about it as being part of the public record. So at this point, I don't want to do that. But if you want to contact us privately, and if you are a member of a group or organization that helps to organize against people who are corrupt from being reelected or from being able to hold their office, or maybe from even being thrown out of office, there are several ways in this state that could happen, then please contact us, because those are good ways. Those are excellent ways to fight evil, because evil can't control elections, although they try. Usually what happens is when enough of the truth comes out, corrupt people in political office, their careers ended. And you know this to be true, of course. Unfortunately, there takes a lot for that to take place, because the other part of the puzzle is the news media. And those people have really fallen in the last few decades. We used to have a really good independent crime investigation and public corruption investigation part of the media. But that takes a lot of time and energy, and stories can take months to investigate and produce. In today's world, everything has to be done in a 24-hour cycle. So those kinds of news media safeguards are now being stripped, or have already been stripped, from our arsenal of how to fight evil. Well, that's a very, very strong and powerful defense that has been removed, and offense against evil. So I don't know how to approach this other than to say, if you know of, or if you yourself are an investigative reporter, give us a call. We've got one heck of a story to tell you, with incredible amounts of evidence, more than most investigative stories usually are privileged to, and a lot of other stuff. Now, some of this may have to be coordinated with certain legal activities that are taking place, but you're used to that if you are in that genre, if you're that kind of reporter, and you know how to work with that. You know how to make a good story and to develop it in a way that will, be a winning kind of article that will really promote the public good and lead people away from voting for and maybe trying to vote out the people who are corrupt. So this is a way that you can fight evil, especially if you have these skills. Now, I know that some of you are in that genre, and you have done stories in the past. The problem is that you probably are faced with the dilemma that I'm talking about, that it's hard to sell them, hard to get them anywhere, because There's very few outlets these days that don't work on very short cycles. And you can't develop an investigative story and get it out there on a short cycle. It's just not possible. You need a different kind of media. So, you know, I still encourage you, and I hope that my understanding the nature of your problems will encourage you to give us a call, because we'll work with you to try to help you to develop it efficiently, effectively, and one that, because we have so much, might make it a little bit easier than the typical investigative story would be. But this is something that scares me about the United States and maybe the whole world, is how news agencies, which were the safeguard of our way of life, of freedom and all the virtues that we consider to be part of good character and being living in this great country, has been eaten away and eroded. It's been done because, unfortunately, the greed of having instantaneous stories every 5 minutes and news 24 hours a day, which may be inappropriate, is making it so that those that have something more substantial to say and do are being locked out, forced out from being able to really get to the truth and be able to explain to a hungry public about what's really wrong out there. I hope you understand, those of you who I'm talking to, that we can be of some help and you can be help to us. There's a great synergy that could be developed there. Okay, well, you know what? We're running out of time, and before I do, I just wanted to mention to you the couple things that you can email us being the spiritual group I'm part of, thoughts@whylifeis.com. thoughts@whylifeis.com. And the at is that amperin, whatever it is. The A with the circle around it, that's what they call it. And the website you can reach us through is agelesswisdom.com. agelesswisdom.com. So if you need to get a hold of us after hearing everything I said, please do. Also, I'm still using Ideal Cellsorption Resveratrol. You know what we did? There was a sebaceous cyst on one of the animal's tails, the dog. And we tried some of this resveratrol on it, a little special way of using it. And if you need to know more about it, give me a call or an email, and I'll tell you. And it came off like in 12 hours. Amazing stuff. And it's healing, and it's doing incredibly great. You can get it for animals as well in the VF formula. And what it does is it literally increases the life expectancy, 30 to 50%. Of your animals and yourself, and you don't grow as old looking, and you may also stay healthier. ForeverYoungProducts.com, 800-777-7850. Give them a call to find out more about that. And for right now, we're running out of time. I hope today's show hasn't sounded like a one-sided track about just stuff we're doing. It wasn't meant to be. I'm trying to open the minds and hearts of all our listeners to some of the things that are troublesome, and to let you know that we are there. We're there in the front lines. I don't want you to think that we're just doing this because we're doing it. We're doing it because we really believe in it. And hopefully those that follow in that same direction will join us. Some of you already have, and to everyone who has been helping, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Well, we're out of time for right now. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.